It's Marketplace Tech for August 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. People make jokes about tech giants being better at data collection than governments. Other people say that the government needs to act more like the private sector to be successful. And the New York Times now reports that AT&T might have the best record of working with spy agencies out of any private company in the U.S. This according to new documents from Edward Snowden. Maybe not the collaboration many hoped for. There are some interesting legal implications for surveillance outsourcing, like less red tape. Harvard Law Professor Susan Crawford joins us for more. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm pretty well. Is this an expensive process, sharing data with the NSA?
We can guess that it's likely expensive. We also know, though, that in exchange, the government gets an extremely productive working relationship, very fast, very reliable, very available, and gets a shield from any constitutional quibbles about how the program is working.
Why is that?
Well, because you're asking a private company to do the choosing and selecting.
AT&T or whatever private company gets to decide which data to flag and which data not to flag?
Right. And you can see this obliquely in the Times article that one of the big programs here has to focus on people who are reasonably believed to be a non-U.S. person. And it looks as if AT&T is making that decision and has helped Verizon make that decision.
What are the other legal implications of that?
Well, the implications are enormous because we have this whole Fourth Amendment scheme set up to protect Americans from overreach by the government. But if you wash that through a private company, you can avoid some of those issues.
Is this like data collection laundering?
Well, let's look at it from the government's point of view. They may not have the expertise in-house to do this. So they're getting expert assistance and information they believe is essential for protecting the country.
Susan Crawford is a professor at Harvard Law School. Susan, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Remember that part from the HBO show Veep when the vice president visits the Silicon Valley offices of a tech CEO only to feel treated like a not-so-VIP?
Selena.
It's Madam Vice President.
It's Madam Vice President.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Madam Vice President.
Right.
Right. I shouldn't say this because I majored in math, but you have my 1,000% attention.
Wow, that's a lot. I'm thrilled to hear that.
Excuse me one moment. Have you heard from Indonesia?
Congress members are currently on recess, which means many are visiting districts and donors. The same is true of Republican candidates for president. But Silicon Valley is one place they aren't finding a lot of dollar signs. That's according to Politico's Tony Rahm, who says Hillary Clinton is getting more traction.
It's about money and image. You know, for one thing, the Valley has plenty of well-heeled tech executives who can give big dollars not just to campaigns, but unlimited donations to super PACs that ultimately back those candidates. But it's also about image. You know, it helps a candidate like Hillary Clinton when she's able to point to support from Silicon Valley as she tries to attract the votes of young people or demonstrate that she's hip and, you know, paying attention and using some of these cool new technologies.
Rahm has a piece about GOP candidates' struggles in tech land. We've posted it to facebook.com/marketplacetech. Earlier this year, when I talked to Sam Esmail, the creator of USA Network's hacker drama Mr. Robot, he joked about how people were trying to pirate the first episode of the show, even though it had been posted in full for all to see on YouTube. Well, 8 weeks in, it's fair to say that the first season of Mr. Robot has some serious buzz behind it. Part of that is thanks to what fans see as a realistic depiction of legal and illegal tech uses. Count among them Tiffany Rad, researcher and founder of the vehicle security company Anatrope. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
So we should say that Mr. Robot as a TV show has pretty good cred in the cybersecurity world.
And it's fantastic. And we're impressed how close they are. In fact, in some cases, exactly right on for some of the hacks that they do.
And I know you won't give out any spoilers, but in one episode from this season, the show actually displays some work that you and some of the people that you've been working with have done.
It does. And the way that it plays out is the main character, Elliot, is a hacker, and he's given an ultimatum. he has to hack a bad guy out of prison or he won't get to see one of the other protagonists ever again in the show. So he sets to work on figuring out how he can hack prisons. And in doing that research, he found ours online.
And how does it work? What happens?
The way that it worked was there is something called a programmable logic controller. And what that is a small computer. And in that computer, you can have it control many things. They're used in many places in transit, but also in the U.S., they're used in prisons. And so we thought about, would it actually be possible to do something like opening up all the doors in a prison? And we found out that it actually was possible, but never released the proof of concept code.
How do you kind of navigate all that, and what are the basic rules of how you do your work and how you present it to the world?
Every researcher has their own basis of ethics from which they work.
That seems problematic in and of itself.
Well, mind you, there are laws that apply when you're reverse engineering or breaking code. There could be ramifications, both criminal and for civil, for copyrights. And then you also have to consider every researcher's own ethics about how much they want to reveal. Do they want to talk to the vendor or do they not? I think vendors should have a way for people to discuss with them about problems that have been found. I'd like to know if I was a vendor that there was a problem so I could fix it before it's massively exploited.
Tiffany Rad is a computer security expert. She's also the founder of the vehicle security startup Anitrop. Tiffany, thank you very much.
Thank you.
By the way, if you want to know how popular Mr. Robot is, get a sense by looking at the number of people sharing it on the file sharing website BitTorrent. It's all over that site. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.